episodes of Tales of the Walking Dead are over, but the Walking Dead podcast is still just getting started here on Post Show Recap as we are shambling back to life to talk about the first new Walking Dead spinoff show in a good little minute. It's Tales of the Walking Dead. You didn't see a Tales of the Walking Dead podcast pop up in your Walking Dead podcast feed last week, and you were like, okay, so they finally quit. All right, no one's complaining or overhyping the show anymore. We're free. Guess what, baby? None of us are free. We're trapped in this Groundhog Day loop with each other forever, talking zombies till the rest of time, and you all better get used to it. Of course, I am Josh Wigler, stuck in the loop with me this week. As always, AJ Mass. AJ, how do we get out of this thing?
I don't know. I'm busy watching this Mets game from 1987 over and over again.
Oh, man. That sounds like not a bad one, right?
No, because they won in 86. 87 is really...
Oh, I got it off by a year. I thought I was doing sports well. Oh, man.
I can't celebrate too much because I'm stuck yeah, watching it over and over again.
Brutal. Also trapped in time with us, the legend himself, Chappelle. Chappelle, this is a weird day to be reliving over and over again. August 21st, 2022, we're stuck talking Walking Dead when House of the Dragon is on.
Yes, we're stuck. But because of House of the Dragon and The Walking Dead coming back, I have brownies. And I am 1.5 brownies in right now. So I'm ready to talk to you about whatever.
You're deep. Oh, my God. Stay away from the baked goods in this
zombie
apocalypse.
No. Please and thank you. I'll be taking them.
Those are murder pot brownies, man. You don't want anything to do with that.
Listen, I am like Evie, I am immune. I've been there, done that. She's gonna have to infuse them with a lot more to take me out the game.
That was a great moment where she's like, oh, so the weed brownies, it's kind of cool to uncool to give me those without my consent. You could have just asked.
I would have accepted, but okay.
Here we are in a world, AJ, in which pot brownies and applesauce cookies are secret weapons in The Walking Dead. Who knew?
We see a lot of butchers. Now we see a lot of more bakers. I'm waiting for the candlestick makers to make their revenge.
They're on their way, inevitably. Until they've got solar mastered here in The Walking Dead. If things regress any further, I'm sure we're going to get to...
There's solar in Georgie's book somewhere.
Yeah. Walking Dead by torchlight is inevitably on its way. Some sort of like a steampunk, gaslight version of The Walking Dead universe. We are talking about all of the ridiculous possibilities that this show could possibly posit because we are talking about Tales of the Walking Dead, the much anticipated anthology edition of Walking Dead, where every single episode is going to be a brand new story set within The Walking Dead universe. It's going to have different cast members each time, a complete open and shut tale every single week, and it's also apparently going to do some really weird experimental things with genre, as we see in episode 2. So we've got 2 episodes of Tales of the Walking Dead to talk about. I think this is going to be the pace that we're going to do Tales of the Walking Dead. Every other week, we will be with you talking about the 2 most recent episodes of Tales of the Walking Dead. So this week, we've got episodes 1 and 2. We'll be back in a couple of weeks with 3 and 4, and then a couple of weeks after that with 5 and 6. And that will be 3 Tales of the Walking Dead podcasts for you here in this Walking Dead podcast feed. When we are done with that, we're at the last episodes of The Walking Dead as they have described it. The last episodes.
Yeah, but that's a lie because we still have 8 iterations of The Walking Dead just going simultaneously. I think we found out that there's not going to be a Daryl Carroll thing, right?
We do have some news. If we want to just start with some of the news from the last couple of months. So yes, we know. I think that we talked about that Carol was not going to be part of the Daryl show, but one of the really major headlines from the last little while was announced at Comic-Con where the Rick movies are no longer happening. And instead, it's the Rick and Michonne TV show that there's going to be 6 episodes of a new show with Rick and Michonne coming out apparently next year. So I Love the Dead just got a wake up call. That show better be great. because it's going to have some competition with Rick and Michonne. We don't know what it's called. We do know that it's not envisioned as a limited series. It's apparently a season one. So this is going to be a show. They're going to do a Rick and Michonne show. So really, The Walking Dead isn't going anywhere if AMC has anything to say about it. AJ, are you hyped for a Rick show rather than a Rick movie?
I think so. I mean, especially if they have some sort of marketable puppet to go along with it. You know, this is very striking me as like a Mandalorian kind of thing going on here, where it's like, all right, let's just, you know, hey, Hawkeye, Loki, come on in. There's room for everybody.
There will be, Chappelle, inevitably a Walking Dead endgame, right? You know, all these roads will converge to one path eventually.
Honestly, I'd hope so. Not that like we need to go and revisit a lot of these storylines, but a lot of the characters, they gave them to us, and now just to take them away without them like dying or being forcibly removed, it does kind of feel like a little half-assed, you know? Like I remember the kids from World Beyond, you know?
All of us do.
Of course.
And I would like to see them. And then Fear the Walking Dead has given us some really great characters. Of course, The Walking Dead proper has a bunch of characters that, unless they're about to kill them all off this fall, they should be around somewhere. So yeah, I would love to see a world where they, you know, hit them with the, you know, to your left or whatever, and then people start coming out of portals or whatever the case may be. But I think that would be difficult with a bunch of time jumps, you know, all these shows don't take place in the same era,
right?
I don't know if anybody from Tales of the Walking Dead that we haven't even talked about yet is going to end up in The Walking Dead proper or Fear or whatever becomes the flagship show. I'd have to assume it's the Rick Schoen show is going to be the new headliner. But yeah, I would love to see that, you know, or maybe they just revisit a bunch of people from their past that didn't die, that just kind of disappeared.
Yeah, well, I'm at the point, AJ, where the Walking Dead, the last episodes, I'm done being mad or annoyed about it. At this point, it's like, yeah, just lie to me. Lie to me, you know, just lie to me. Keep this thing going. That's fine. I'm good.
Yeah, look, it's just this phase of The Walking Dead is coming to an end, and that's fine. We'll keep going. And
it's like when Mike Bloom and I get on Down the Hatch and tell everyone we're never going to talk about Lost again. It's a lie. It's not true. It's clearly, obviously, a falsehood. There will be a Walking Dead show on TV for just as long as there will be Lost conversation on post-show recaps, at least.
Yeah, and I think with this particular show that we're talking about now, I think this is a perfect pot where they can introduce characters, try them out, and if we like them, sure, bring them back. I think it's a nice little way to like introduce things that, you know, maybe this is an isolated story, we'll never see them again. Maybe if fans seem to like a character and the actor seems to get along, and hey, we'll write you into the Rick Michonne show. We'll write you into New York.
Chappelle, when the Joker cracks the pool stick in half and tells the guys he's going to have tryouts and gives them just the one? Is that what Tales of the Walking Dead is? Is everybody trying out for the other Walking Dead shows?
If that's the case, then every week when we talk about two of the episodes, baby, we should crack the pool stick in half and determine which cast is going to be in one of the future casts and which one gets, you know, skewered.
You're going to Samoa.
Yeah, I think we need to be doing a tournament here, I think is absolutely correct. I think that each week we need to kill off one of the pair in the headline, in the episode title, and then pit them against the survivors have to go up against each other. And then there could be a loser's bracket as well for which zombie version of the character gets to come along for the spinoff.
Sounds like a plan.
I think this will work. This will work out great. So, of course, unfortunately, Jessica Lease already lost this battle, obviously. First one out. No, she'll be back as soon as humanly possible. If you have not yet read it, if you do not follow at Haymaker Hattie on Twitter, Jess on Twitter, then perhaps you missed the really exciting article that Jess wrote. She reviewed Tales of the Walking Dead for Variety.com. A really awesomely written review. We're so proud of Jess over here, and we can't wait to get her on the podcast to give her takes on Tales, because I'm sure they are hot fire. So if you are currently missing Jess's takes on Tales of the Walking Dead, there's a really great, brilliantly, as you would expect, written review from Jess in Variety. She's tweeted it out. We'll put it in the show notes here so you can't miss it. So we're about 10 minutes in, and we haven't talked about whether or not we like this show yet. So maybe let's start there. AJ, did you like it? Are you enjoying Tales of the Walking Dead so far?
I really did like it. I liked it a lot. And, I think the two episodes that we've seen so far, My trajectory actually went opposite for both of them. I thought the first 15 minutes of episode one, I loved. And then I didn't think the quality really kept up for the rest of it. And the second episode, the first 15 minutes, I was like, I don't know if I like this. But by the end, I was like, woo, more Blair and Gina. So I think they did a really smart job of putting episode two at episode two, because if they had put that at episode one, it's kind of like what happened with Black Mirror, which I love. But you have to tell people, yeah, Black Mirror is great. Don't start with the pig episode.
Right.
Start with episode
yeah.
two.
Yeah, that's a harsh one to begin with. Yeah, so you would say start with Blair Gina over Evie Jo.
No, I think they did the right thing.
They did in the right
order. If they had started with Blair and Gina, I don't know if I would have necessarily been as optimistic going forward with any more. I'm like, really? Is this what we're doing? Because it's just so out there.
They needed to buy you some some runway in order to do something as weird as Blair and Gina.
And I think that's what the first episode did. But I really ended up enjoying both episodes. And I like the concept, and it's a limited series, and it gets you, bridges you from one series, to the next coming back. I'm in. I like it.
Chappelle, I'm very curious for your answer to this question, because I remember a lot of our conversations along the way here on the podcast, and when we would bring up all of these inevitable spinoffs and we would talk about Tales of the Walking Dead, I think that one of your positions was, why do I care about this show if it's not going to matter to the story, right? It was like, what's this going to do for the rest of what have you done for me lately, Tales of the Walking Dead? Like, what are you going to do for the mythology? So it's very clearly, at least at this point, it's really standalone. It's bizarrely standalone, especially in the second episode. Did you like it, or were some of your fears about it kind of reinforced?
I really liked it. I really enjoyed the second episode better than the first episode, actually, just because it was so interesting the way they did it. It was a new feel on Final Destination.
Yeah.
I like that. Who doesn't like Final Destination? And so it was fun. The first episode does kind of reinforce my fear, though, that I'm going to get invested in a storyline that we never get to into. Like, there's a moment, and I'm sure we'll talk about it, but there's a moment at the end of the first episode where Terry Crews' character, Joe and Evie, they are leaving the bunker that they have found, this hideaway spot, and they're about to go wherever. And in my head, I was like, why are you leaving? Stay here, because you should have everything you need. This woman's been living here. Why aren't you staying here? And then the episode ends, I'm like, I guess I'll never know. And and so maybe that was a little disappointing to me. But when I got to the second episode, I completely forgot that disappointed me, because I'm like, oh, now you have the opportunity to experiment with all these other things, these crazy things that you could want to do in the zombie apocalypse. And I'm like, I'm more interested in seeing how else they're going to manipulate the show, how other iterations of this are going to come, moving forward. And I think for me, that is enough to keep me invested. Now, if 3 episodes down the line, they don't do anything else interesting and it goes back to the normal format every time, I might be a little disappointed, but right now I'm very optimistic and I did enjoy it.
Yeah, I guess, AJ, part of my concern is, I know that you say, like, maybe we need to start with something of, an amuse-bouche with Evie Jo, just like a quick little pot brownie across the table that you can eat before you experience the craziness of episode 2 with Blair and Gina. But was it almost dangerous to put the Groundhog Day episode in the number 2 spot if we don't know if there's going to be anything as nearly as weird or format breaky or experimental moving down the line? Like, what if the rest of the episodes are much more episode 1 than episode 2? Did we blow our shot in the first 2 weeks of Tales of the Walking Dead?
I don't know. I think people are either going to buy in or they're not going to buy in.
Yeah.
And I think for me, the Joe and Evie episode, just starting with just basically, Terry Crews and a dog for 15 minutes, of just this is what his life is in this bunker, and you don't have any zombies really, like once or twice when he goes outside. But they set up that Terry Crews is in a bunker with his dog, and I'm weeping.
Yeah.
that's really good character building.
But it felt cheating. It felt like cheating, Chappelle, to kill man's best friend in the first 5 minutes of your brand new Walking Dead show. Like, oh, well, now I'm invested, and now I feel bad for Terry Crews, and now I have to keep going because they made me feel sad. They shortcut it into my heart.
Yeah, and I mean, it's really hard for me to feel bad for Terry Crews just in general, and so for that to happen so quickly, I was like, yeah, they're doing the good stuff here. But yeah, it did a very, I am legend thing, but they just bed through it, right?
Yeah.
Like here's the moment, and you're like, oh man, that's happening already. What are we going to lead to next? But I do think what happened next was very interesting. I think the beginning was probably more compelling. But I don't think it was like boring by any means, right? Like, I think that the journey that Joe does with Evie is kind of like, it felt like we've seen this before. And then the twist being, oh no, he's not being catfished, but he's also talking to a crazy person. Oh, you should be scared. Wow, Terry, keep up. You know, that kind of thing kind of was like, oh, okay, I'm enjoying this. It was kind of funny too. So I enjoyed it a lot. But I am worried that maybe I'll be looking for more interesting delivery, you know, from the rest of the episodes, you know, and I don't want to be disappointed. So I'm just going to try to taper my expectations just a little bit.
So Evie and Joe, the first one that we get, it's a two-hander. It's Terry Crews and Olivia Munn becoming unlikely friends in the zombie apocalypse. As you say, Chappelle, there's some catfishing going on here. Not for the first time in the Walking Dead universe. I feel like these sort of errant phone calls from people who aren't quite who they say they are. Sometimes they're ghosts. In the case of Rick in Once Upon a Time, when your ghost wife is catfishing you, that's pretty messed up. So there's some bunker catfishing going on in this one. It's pretty straightforward down the line. This is a person in a bunker who you probably can't trust, and you should be spending more time in the present of your life and opening your heart to the people who are opening theirs to you. Feels kind of the thematic engine of it, AJ. This story of Evie and Joe, did it contain surprises for you, like any major big like narrative twists or turns, or were you pretty set that whenever Joe was going to wind up in the bunker, it was going to be with some sort of psychopath?
No. I thought that was surprising. That was an interesting twist, you know, that either wasn't going to be who we thought it was going to be, or I was expecting some sort of twist there, because again, this is still Walking Dead universe. There's probably not a lot of happily ever after that's going to end up here. I liked that kind of storyline that, like, yeah, you can survive a zombie apocalypse, but are you living if you just spend your time in a bunker and never go anywhere? You know, doing
depends
the same
on what you've got. You know, if you have like a healthy supply of DVDs, he's basically just watching the same sports games over and over again, kind of like you.
But he doesn't have anybody. You know, his best friend is his dog, and even if he had stayed there, you could tell that the dog was getting older in years, and maybe wasn't going to be around much longer anyway. So, you know, I think this goes to what you were saying earlier, Chappelle. Like, the reason they leave the bunker is because they don't want to live in bunkers anymore. Like, they don't want to play it safe. They want to go out and live for whatever this hellscape is. That's what they want. I like that storyline. I like that kind of growth. Did I like the fact that he leaves the bike on and walks away? Yeah, there's a little bit of naivete because he hasn't been around people for a year. And, you know, it's still stupid to do that.
Yeah.
Did I like the fact that he was saved by the crystal? No, I thought that was as hokey as hell. But overall, I believe the bonding that the two characters, you know, had with each other. And yeah, if they showed up in another show, you know, in season three of Tales, you know, as a second follow-up episode, or, you know, as one of the other new flagships, I would dig seeing these characters and seeing what comes of them. But, you know, I'm able to let it go, you know?
Yeah.
Bring back the goat. Bring us the goat. We don't know why the goat was left there. It was kind of like, I took your bite, here's the goat. But I want more stuff with the goat. I need
to
know.
Do you think that this is Tabitha the goat? Tabitha the goat's relative?
Not
from the
Tabitha
cheesemonger,
the
Eastman?
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. Well, because we don't know. In the second episode, it's very clear that we're talking about the beginning of the apocalypse, but
we're a year into the zombie apocalypse in Evie and Joe.
Yeah, I mean, even if it's just a year in, though, that does go more to AJ's point that, you know, it's been a year and you want to live, right? You want to get out of the bunker. You want to go see the world. And it seemed like Terry Crews' character, Joe, was already preparing for the end of the world before the apocalypse happened. So he probably was, for the last 12 months, thinking, oh, yeah, I'm the one who figured it out. Like, people have been telling me I'm crazy. This CTE is not just, you know, like in my imagination, like this is the thing keeping me alive. But they leave. And so, yeah, maybe a year in feels right to me. Yeah, I think so. But yeah, I just
the groundwork
really
want to know. A Tabitha tale.
Also, the motorcycle. The timing of it also, like, I think given that we are in our real world now, having coming out of our own bunkers with the pandemic and everything, and like, what do we want to do? Do we want to just stay inside? No, we want to go out and meet people and do things. And I think this, even though the timing of this episode is many years ago, and you know, I do think there's a parallel there, that I think we now know what it's like to live through some sort of severe pandemic, that yeah. You know, so like after a year of a zombie pandemic, yeah, we're gonna have feelings that are similar to what we are.
Yeah, and some of it has left some people with you know, brain dead at the very least here along the way in some forms of the behavior. I think one of the things, I think thematically it feels very resonant. I think that's right. I think one of the other things that really works for me, and I don't think they'll be able to do this every single time, but the two episodes we're talking about today, at least, it does work, is you buy me a lot of entry into the characters when you're recognizable, I think. That, you know, we don't get to, you know, have like 17 episodes with Terry Crews as Joe, but that's Terry Crews. That's Olivia Munn. Like, these are recognizable mm-hmm. people, so you can kind of buy into their stories immediately. Chappelle, did you have a favorite of Joe or Evie, or is that tipping your hand for the death match to come?
That might be tipping my hand just a bit, but I do like Evie. And I, because her storyline is something that I don't resonate with at all. You know, like the idea that she's going to go find a man who painted her, you know, potentially because he could have painted a hateful version of her to show like how he feels about her. And that's her entire motivation for leaving. Like, I need to go see if the love is there for Stephen, I think his name was.
Yeah.
And so she gets there. She, you know, thumbs through the paintings and she sees that, yeah, he did have a lot of love for her based on the drawing itself. And I appreciate that. I think it's different. Anything we get from this anthology series that we could not have gotten from The Walking Dead proper, I'll take it, because remember I was saying, why does it matter? Well, if it's completely outside of the box and we're getting new stuff, then I'll take that. That new stuff matters to me.
Yeah. My favorite character from the episode, Sandra. The scary psychopathic bunker lady felt to me like immediately just this excellently realized one-shot villain. She had like big Harley Quinn energy, AJ. I felt like once the brownie turns and she's got like, you know, kind of like sloppy makeup, and she's like, I'm sorry, but I gotta kill you, man. Like, obviously I have to kill you. The turn was just very, very terrifying. I thought that the actor, Kirstie Bryan is the name of the actor, did a great sort of Romero-esque zombie at the end of it, too. So I thought that this episode, the first one, had a really great villain on top of the titular Joe and Evie.
Yeah,
I would have seen more with her. I would have liked more with her.
And it wasn't like this was like the first person that she'd ever encountered. I mean, you know, she's got this closet full of watches that she's collected from all the men who have dared to come and take her, you know, try to invade her bunker. I thought that was like also like a really cool, even like a nod to like, you know, okay, the governor's fishbowl, like, you know, like just kind of like there's something about these trophies that even in the zombie apocalypse that you're going to get.
Yeah. Did you have a strong take on the villain, Chappelle, on Sandra?
Yeah, I liked her. But I like the idea that she is either made crazy because she feels threatened by the outside world and people are coming in trying to take her, you know, her safe space. And so she has to protect herself. But I also like the idea that maybe she was crazy beforehand. And right. Like Terry Crews has been just hunkering down for the worst. And she's been collecting these watches well before the zombie apocalypse. And so I appreciate all of that. I thought she was very interesting. But again, like you said, I feel like she might be gone too soon. So that might be a through line with my critique of the series, you know, the anthology series. But I think that's the whole point of an anthology series. You get them for a little bit and then they're gone.
Better to leave the party early than to be wearing the lampshade at the end.
Exactly.
Better to have six minutes of solid action with her than six episodes where we see a watch and she eyeballs a watch, and then next week, you know, we
talk
even more about the watch. It's like boom, it's done. Boom, bang, boom, and we move on.
No, that's a great point, because if we had to spend three episodes of Terry Crews just looking at the like the text messages, you know, just like reading over them over and over again and just like crying itself to sleep at night because the dog died, I will take this 1,000 times over that.
Yeah, for sure.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
So we're talking about, I think, a series that is making smart use of the time that it has. It's an anthology. You only have one episode with these characters. So time is money. Time is very central to Blair and Gina, which is something of a time travel story here. Is that fair, AJ? Time loop, would you say?
Time loop.
Connoisseur of time travel on the panel.
Yeah, it's not a closed universe because clearly they can make different choices. So it's an open loop story is what I would call it.
Chappelle, how are we? Are we going to be the party poopers that are going to take it too seriously? That suddenly Groundhog Daying is a possibility within the Walking Dead universe? Should we canonize this, or should we allow the wiggle room for the show to just do a weird Groundhog Day story? Like, when we talk about the future of the mainline Walking Dead and all of those characters, could they all just be stuck in their own little Groundhog Day loops? Is that a possibility for us now?
Remember that time The Walking Dead, Robert Patrick, this, you know, and we just would never stop talking about it? I'm actually fine with us doing this moving forward.
If
The Walking Dead proper or The Rick Schoen Show or I Love the Dead or whatever else they come up with, if I have to throw that out as a theory at the end of like every third episode, then I might just be like, so what if on the next episode we do the time loop thing, we see all the iterations of this plan, and then we see how they actually get out. I did not hate it. But it might be a little ambitious of us to think that they're going to do this a couple more times.
Do we think, AJ, that we could identify the moments in the lives of the characters from The Walking Dead that we have seen? So they have to be on-screen events, happened during one of the episodes, that would be particularly nightmarish and or transformative for some of our Walking Dead characters. Like, what is Daryl Dixon's Groundhog Day? What's the ideal Groundhog Day for us to drop in on with Daryl?
Ooh. Well, I think we actually saw one, didn't we? Because when the music was playing in the same
we're on Easy Street.
Again.
Oh, wow. That maybe just blew up the whole game. Was that a Groundhog Day?
I mean, I think, you know, it's certainly a spin on maybe all these episodes. We could find some parallels, you know, to the actual Walking Dead. I mean, because, like, you know, Joe and Evie was basically Eugene on the walkie-talkie, just sped up. So maybe this is kind of taking that kind of situation where we do see the repetitiveness of everyday life in the zombie apocalypse. It just put it on hyperloop, hyperspeed. Because a lot of these, you know, we've had episodes where it was like a whole season in a day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. they played with time before, maybe not particularly in this way. I think on Fear also we've had a few episodes which have kind of been like, oh, it's just a fever dream, isn't it?
Right. Mm-hmm. Do we have theories for what this actually was? Do we think that this was a shared fever dream? Do we think that this was both Blair and Gina had actually secretly been bitten by a walker and this was like the last vestiges of them clinging on to life? Or am I thinking about it way too hard?
I think you're thinking about it way too hard. Mm-hmm. We're talking about a television show where zombies exist.
You think pretty hard about that. I don't know about you, all the time.
I am perfectly fine with this being an isolated temporal anomaly with no explanation needed. Because again, it's one of these things where they get into the situation and then they get to a point and they move out of the situation. It probably will not repeat again. And I am fine with it. I think, again, this episode, when they did the loop for the first time, I was like, ooh, I'm not sure. I don't know if I like this.
Right.
But, you know, I just have to say, effing Parker Posey, man.
Yeah.
She knocks this stuff. The first time that she reacts, it just stares at her like, did we just do that? You too. Like, she just sells every bit of this character going through it. I'm with her all the way, and I believe it.
Yeah, she really effectively, Chappelle, sold me on, and really I think Julian Bell as Gina did such a great job of this too, of like the absolute nightmare that it is to be stuck in an endless death loop with your colleague. You know, if you don't get along at work and you are, you know, living so much of your life there in that office, and now you're stuck in this temporal binding you're bound temporally, eternally with your work nemesis. It's a nightmare. And I think both of these actors found a great way of selling that and finding some semblance of peace and understanding too, which seemed like a pretty happy ending for how this might actually go.
Right, but look at what it took to get them there. You know, mm-hmm. it took like at least 20 deaths in, uh-huh. in different iterations to the point where they were just shooting and killing each other. That's my favorite scene where she just reaches up with a gun and just shoots her for no reason, apparently.
Incredible.
It's like, she's like, F it, I'm just going to kill you because I'm sick of your, you know? And so yeah. I love that. But yeah, I think a large part of the American story is waking up and going to work at your 9 to 5 and patiently waiting for 5 o'clock. And to know that there's a world where you could never hit 5 o'clock and you just have to keep redoing this thing. That is a nightmare in and of itself without the zombies.
Yeah, they're making a show about it. Severance. It's that.
Yeah, it's a thing. And it's crazy because the zombies were like the smallest part of this, this episode. Like there is one zombie murder in the very big, you know, like that keeps happening. The guy getting ate in the car. He falls out the car, he's right. eating the person, and then everything else ensues after that. And so it was like, yeah, it's in the world of a zombie apocalypse, but the real issue here, the real conflict was I'm stuck with this lady who is, you know, leaving her dirty mugs on my desk and who is horrible and we all hate her and I have to keep doing this over and over again and wait. And this timeline, I think I could kill her and get away with it. You know, like there's a lot of that going on. So I thought it was interesting. But to answer your question from earlier, I do think you're overthinking it a little bit just yeah. because we'll never know. That's the thing with the anthology series. We'll never know if that was a fever dream. It doesn't matter, you know. So kind of like I feel like now that we're released from the shackles of the story, you know, the main story or the cure or all these other things, we can live a little bit. You know, we don't have to worry about if it matters. And that's kind of refreshing.
Just makes me wonder what we could, you know, what kind of practical applications of time looping within a zombie apocalypse there could be. Could you just be running a simulation over and over again, AJ, until somebody therein discovers the cure to the zombie apocalypse? Are we just waiting for somebody to break their loop? That's what I want to know.
Absolutely. You could just be in a room making sandwiches over and over again.
Uh-huh. Nonstop.
Yeah, we've seen that.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah, the idea that this was happening like before the zombie apocalypse really broke out. So circa first episode of Fear the Walking Dead is basically right. the time when this is happening.
It was Atlanta, right? Is yeah. where mm-hmm. we were in this one too. So yeah. It was, you know, Rick Grimes is in the coma at this moment in time and Lori and Shane and Carl are still alive. That could have been fun to get a cameo from Shane or something like that here.
Yes. Do we go back and watch the pilot episode now and see if there's a burnt out gas tanker on the highway?
I wouldn't be surprised if there is. And that right? this was part of like, okay, well, we can maybe like tell a weird story that will back up that iconography. Someone's going to have to go and check the tape and let us know.
But yeah, this, like Chappelle said, this wasn't a zombie story. This absolutely was not a zombie story. It's set in the universe, but it wasn't about that. And you can't get away with spending too much time away from the zombies. On the proper show, but on this one, I thought it was great the way they bonded with each other. And quite frankly, my favorite moment is when Parker Posey Blair breaks up with her fiance, basically
yes!
saying, "In yeah. all of the iterations, you never once tried to help me."
Yeah,
that was such a great turn that it was unexpected. I did not expect to be so emotionally attached to these characters. Especially Blair was a hateful character at first, but then I was like, damn, she's right.
Yeah.
No, that was a good moment. That got me for sure. And it's crazy because you get so invested so quickly, even when the story is told like this, you know, so I'm like, yeah, I really like this because had she not pointed it out, I would have never noticed it. You know, yeah. like I never noticed you see the same players in every scene that they go back to. It's, you know, the guy from Homeland Security, I think the guy with the tanker, like it's those same people, but the husband is there too. And he just never gets out the car. And I was like, wow, like, now I actually feel bad for her too. Good stuff.
No, I think they did a good job of selling that she is somebody who is going through her own stuff as well. I thought the dressing down from Gina towards her also was really, really good. Of like, everyone hates your stories. They're only laughing because you're the boss and that's what they have to do. So I thought that there was like a good amount of righteous fury in this one. And I think that the episode was mostly framed from Blair's perspective, it felt like to me, which I think was also probably the right call because like, she's the one who really has to change here, you know, I think is sort of the story at the end of the day. And I think putting that in the hands of Parker Posey, again, just to the point of like having really great actors who are super established, we can form quick connection with, and they're just masters of their craft, and they'll be able to guide us on, you know, like a short movie's worth of an emotional arc. And to do it while having fun too is really key. I think as long as these, I mean, I don't know. I guess I would love to know. We don't know if they're all going to be kind of. These are all had like lighthearted moments at least. Probably some of these are going to end up being relatively dark. My instinct is kind of. I think I want more lighthearted episodes of Tales of the Walking Dead than not. But I don't know. AJ, is that maybe missing out on some opportunity here? Could they tell us like an incredibly scary, chilling, not particularly upbeat or optimistic story in here? Is there a version of a Tales of the Walking Dead episode that's like, okay, well, here's our opportunity to be more savage than we've ever been on any of the other Walking Dead shows?
Yeah, I totally think that you could, you know, we never saw, or we have yet to see, I don't know if there's one coming, but we never really saw what happened when Maggie went into that house. And now we don't have to take Maggie and put her in that house, but we know there's a house where this sort of thing happened, where you could go to that house and show that horrific event, you know, the person before Maggie went in, you know, right, or something like that. You could definitely go all out on some sort of, like, what is the most ridiculous. You don't want to build up a villain for the entire season that's incredibly deranged, but you know, we've seen the cannibals at Terminus and we've seen some pretty scary stuff going on. You could really do an episode with like just the most messed up person you could think of with like what their torture is and try it. And if it doesn't work, it's fine. You got a new episode next week and you could have people putting on a Shakespearean play and
right.
You know, whatever you want to go in a completely different
however
direction.
Many years after the apocalypse based on a comic book. Right.
Yeah. That never happened.
Yeah. No, that'd be fun. I like that too. Do you think, speaking of based on a comic book, did either of you watch the Marvel's What If cartoon that was on Disney Plus last year? Anthological Elseworlds tales set within the extended Marvel universe that ultimately did intersect. There is some intersecting on that show. There's something of like, you know, a team up episode towards the end of the first season. Chappelle, do you imagine there being some sort of team up episode here on Tales of the Walking Dead / would you want that?
I'm in the camp of just do whatever, you know, you got a little wiggle room. We know that if this doesn't matter, then they can play around a little bit. And so I'll take it. You know, even you mentioned, What If, but you know, we see a character in What If, and then we later on see that character kind of, manifest itself in a movie later on,
right.
You know? And so it's like, that's pretty cool. And so, yeah, we can touch on little like moments in the Walking Dead history that you wouldn't have seen in a normal storyline, and then, you know, reincorporate that into the main storyline or into one of these other iterations, probably just fine, probably. Because even like AJ was saying with the bad guys, even, you know, we get these fantastical people, you know, these out of their mind bad guys. But what if we just walked in on one, like right in the middle of their governor moment? You know, we walk in and the whole episode is that person's like highest point and their downfall. You know, that would be pretty cool to watch. Or what if we got, you know, like Virginia's cousin, you know, like it's not Virginia, but she's like Virginia, yeah. Or she knows
Georgia.
Her, you know. Right. Ooh, God. You know, yeah. But you know what I'm saying? Like, what if we got those things? And so I'm okay with all of that. Give me the overlap. Give me, you know, all the things while you have me, because again, we only have so much time left with the original cast. And so you have this wiggle room to not be tied to a storyline, you know, and or to any lore. And so do whatever you want.
Yeah. You're throwing all the spaghetti at the wall and the stuff that sticks. Keep, you know, bring it back for a second.
Just, wait, you know, do we take the spaghetti off the wall and continue to eat it after we've thrown it at the wall?
Me. If it sticks, absolutely.
It didn't touch the ground.
The floor, throw it right. out.
I hope we clean well, the wall seconds. First. Yeah,
we would but, hope
you
know, so.
You mentioned the. I actually thought the opening credits, like the it looked a little bit like Marvel with the little little film
strips. Playful. It's playful.
Yeah, but I think we're definitely getting to that kind of thing. Yay, we're a multiverse of our own. We got our own little, you know, we got our own little thing. Yeah. And so
look, if we're gonna do this, if we're gonna make a million shows about The Walking Dead and really stretch the premise, then I think that this is one of the ones that I really hope for the success for. And I hope that the rest of the episodes are as fun and good as these two were. Cause I agree that I by and large really enjoyed them. They're kind of slight in certain places, but they were really fun, easy, diverting, you know, Walking Dead stories to chill out with. So I like it. I think keep it fresh, keep it interesting. Hopefully the next four episodes are anywhere near the quality level of these two, and we will have had a very good season of The Walking Dead on our hands.
Absolutely. And I think it's great knowing that I'm not going to necessarily know everybody in this episode going in. Like I'm operating at a much different level when, you know, some guy walks into, you know, season 53 of Fear of the Walking Dead, and you go, remember me from season 3? I'm like, no, I was I supposed to? Oh, now I gotta do research. Who were you again? What was you?
Right.
Like, this is just like, hey, empty canvas, go.
Yeah.
Right. And you have the wiggle room to keep it light by using these comedic actors and actresses. I mean, the fact that we had Parker Posey, Terry Crews, Jillian Bell as well. Yeah. Like, these people are hilarious. And so you get them in these roles. And I mean, they're known, I think, from my opinion, they're known for their funnier roles. And so you can put them in a serious situation and keep it light because you have people who have comedic delivery, you know, and timing. And so I wouldn't even be mad if they went a little bit darker with the storyline, but kept bringing in some of the people that we know can carry a show or specifically a comedy.
Yeah, I think it's a good opportunity for perhaps some AMC crossover as well. AJ, is this the show where they should just do a zombie version of Breaking Bad, Better Call Saul, get some of those actors and just have them play their characters and play out zombie survival scenarios with them?
Oh, let's do it. Let's do it. Let's
say yes. Absolutely. Merle Dixon and Walter White in the same room together.
I think if you set this up as the playful arena where anything can happen and you don't have to worry about continuity and you don't have to worry about, you know, where do we go from here and how is this going to affect the major plot lines and all the dominoes, have fun with it. Have your entire animated version. Have your entire claymation version. Do what Community did. You know, where you just have these one-off episodes where, you know, have kids playing a D&D game and you know, with zombies involved. And this is a reenactment of their campaign. Like, there's so many ideas you could do that would be fascinating to watch. And you don't have to worry about, well, we got 13 episodes left and we have to make sure that we get from point A to point B and we don't want to tip the scales too soon, so we're going to just lock them in a closet for this whole episode.
No, you just get to squeeze out the full sponge of ideas into the bucket and then you throw away the sponge because you squeezed it all out in one go.
That's it. And of course, you know, you posted an article in our little private chat.
Nope. We're not talking about that. Baby. I draw the line at the musical.
They could possibly, some point down the line, do a musical. And
yes,
I'm
you're all the way out on the Walking Dead musical. You won't be on that week.
Won't be on that week. People are going to be like, Chappelle's so negative. He said he likes different stuff. Try new things. He's such a hypocrite. Yeah, I'll be that. I've sat through so many musical episodes of television shows. Like, the bane of my existence, even from childhood, I hated that. And, like, I am back to say I hate that again. We did not get it this time. Thank God.
Thank God we didn't get it. Please.
But, I mean, the idea is, like, I would kill if they could get the cast of What We Do in the Shadows, but they don't play vampires. They just play regular people with all the zombie stuff going around and seeing them react. That's the kind of stuff I want this show to
Be. Lots of weird deals that would have to be made for something like that, but it would be fun. I would love to see it. I like the sandbox. I think it's great. Let's do some business. Let's kill some characters. So here's what we're going to do. It's going to be Evie versus Joe, then Blair versus Gina, and then winners against each other. So if we can only carry one of them with us. So it's not even like who wins in a fight. We're just choosing who is coming along for the ride. We get to upgrade one of these characters to greater continued Walking Dead status. Let's begin with the first episode, Evie versus Joe. Chappelle, do you have a strong take on which of these two characters you would want to see more of, Terry Crews or Olivia Munn?
I don't have a strong take this time because I think I already know who I want to come out of this entire bracket. And so for me, you could give me Evie. I'll take that. But it's not. But it's close. It's close. I think they were pretty even, Evie, during the episode.
Yeah, AJ, do you have an Evie versus Joe winner for you?
Based on this episode alone, I think Evie is probably more suited to survive. But I would like to see long term. I would like to see Joe after he's been out in the world for a couple of years and hardened a little bit with a little more smarts. I would love to see how he becomes like this sort of fighting machine, but with a heart.
Yeah. I think ultimately I'm also going to pick Joe to survive to the next round because specifically I want to see him hang out with Daryl Dixon and Dog.
Okay. Yeah. He'd have another dog in his life. That'd be great. I wonder if Dog and Goat would get along.
Goat's
name is Skipper. Skipper.
Yeah.
Skipper go along with Gilligan.
It sure
exactly.
does.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So I'll take it. Yeah. That's a good
And he has to go and meet Eugene, the professor, right? You know?
Yeah.
So we got to get there. It is a moot point because he's probably going to fall to whichever wins of Blair versus Gina. And I guess I'll go first, having gone last here to kick us off. It's tough. I really like them both. But I feel like as much as I love Parker Posey, I kind of feel like Blair's story arc is complete. You know, I feel like she gets to the place where she really needs to be by the end of Blair versus Gina, but I could spend some more time with Gina as a bit of a disruptor here. That being said, man, I really also wouldn't mind seeing Blair as like a leader in the Commonwealth or something like that, going back to her. This is tough. I'll just, you know, it's a little bit of a coin flip. This one's a harder call for me. I'll go with Gina. I'd like to see Gina move forward. Chappelle, you said you had a very strong take on this one. You know who you want to win the whole thing.
I'm Team Blair. Just because I think it would be fun to watch her. You know, she comes from, it looks like very like a high maintenance position. You know, she has her beliefs and she has the way she deals with people. And I think seeing her like with a Daryl would be very entertaining. I think that would be very, very entertaining, you know, for Daryl to be like, shut up, you know, and she's like, no, you know. But I also would like to see her kind of mature and see what she looks like. You know, a lot of our characters are not the same character we got. Like, even if you think about when Glenn was taken from us in the, you know, whatever, and when he first started and he's just like a messenger or delivery guy or whatever, you know, yeah, those are two different people. And so I would like to see the evolution of Blair throughout the series.
AJ, you get to decide who lives, who dies. Blair versus Gina.
Yeah. This is a very close toss-up here because I liked both characters immensely. And I think together, I think they can survive a long time, especially if they're going to go through some more time loops. But even if they don't, they can survive a long time in the zombie apocalypse. The thing with Gina is that she gives me very much Denise vibes, and just someone who I think is never going to see the full picture for what it is. And whereas Blair's going to just be able to suss out those threats in advance, I think Blair's more likely to survive long term. And I mean, Parker Posey's my girl. I can't separate. You put Merritt Weaver as Gina, then maybe I bring her back.
I can't be mad at it. Parker Posey is a queen, and I think we're in a unanimous decision here, probably. I don't want to assume that she takes the crown from Joe, who hopefully lives long enough to meet Dog, but probably doesn't make it much further if only one of Joe or Blair can survive.
I think Blair is more likely to survive the zombie part of the zombie apocalypse. It's the people she has to be worried about, you know. Like,
it's always the people.
Right. It's Maggie. You know, like, Blair, you should be worried. It's Carol. Carol's going to slap the shit out of you. I just want to be very clear. But I want to see it. So that's why Blair takes the crown for me this round.
Okay, Blair survives into next week. And then as far as the loser bracket goes, the zombie that is sticking around, do we have one of Gina versus Evie that gets to continue on in the loser's bracket?
I don't have a strong preference. AJ?
I think I go Gina.
Yeah, I think I will too. I think I want to see this rivalry continue into the deeper portion of our Tales of the Walking Dead coverage. So I think
Gina
gets to go on.
We have seen her as a zombie several times in this episode.
Yeah,
That's true.
Okay, so Blair advances in the winner's bracket. Gina advances in the loser's bracket. We will see how this shakes out in 2 weeks when we return. Also, maybe let's rank the episodes as we go. I think could be fun, you know, because they're all so different. They're all mini movies, so I think that this is easier to rank than your standard season of Walking Dead. I would say I would go Blair, Gina in first over Evie, Joe. They're both really good, but I think Blair and Gina was a real statement piece of what this show can do.
Totally agree. Mm-hmm. I think, like I said, for me, Joe and Evie started stronger, but you know, just by the end, kind of fizzled out for me. Whereas Blair and Gina, just I could have watched another half hour of this easily. Yeah.
Chappelle, you agree?
Yeah. Oh yeah, big time. The episode two was the icing on the cake. I think you completely like described it perfectly earlier. It's just the idea that you needed to show us the normal Walking Dead format, but in a good way that we appreciated it. And then you need to show us the cool thing you could do now that you have this space. And so the cool thing this time wins for me, but that doesn't mean it's always going to win. It's just that I think when they were sitting next to each other, this stood out.
Yeah. So the next time we meet, we will have two new episodes to discuss. One of them is going to be a familiar face returning. The episode is called D. It is the Samantha Morton Alpha Return. So we are getting an alpha episode of Tales of the Walking Dead next. We are going to get a proof of concept of can this show sustain stories about characters we already know. So that's kind of fun to see how that experiment is going to go. And then the fourth episode of the show, which will be the week that we come back, will be Amy / Dr. Everett. I feel like they could have done a better title on Amy / Dr. Everett. Feels like if we're grading based on titles, it's my least favorite.
Yeah, but that'll be interesting because of who's playing Dr. Everett.
Sure. Yes, indeed. Yes. What kind of this could be a test balloon, AJ, of can you take characters from their other shows and place them in the zombie apocalypse? Is this a little bit of your ER? Put the ER in Fear of the Walking Dead.
Yeah, I think, we'll see if it gooses the ratings, honey.
I suppose. Oh, look at you. All right, so that's Tales of the Walking Dead, episodes 1 and 2. Hey, surprise, we like Walking Dead right now. This is really fun. We're enjoying it. We'll be back in a couple of weeks to talk about it even more. If you want to hear more from the three of us, there are plenty of places to do that, including Twitter at AJ Mass, at Chappelle's _ show. I'm at Round Howard. Jess is at Haymaker Hattie. But we also have podcasts, of course. Chappelle, what's going on in your neck of the woods?
Chilling right now. Nothing but Netflix in my heart and on my screen, is as the theme song says. Last week we talked about the Neil Patrick Harris show, Uncoupled. We were going to do this weird thing called Un-August, where we just talked about un-shows. And so we did that, but we're going to pivot and talk about vampires this week with Mari Fortz. She's going to come on to talk about Day Shift with Jamie Foxx. And so
is that a movie?
It is a movie, and apparently people have been talking about it, so are we. And so check out Nothing But Netflix and follow Nothing But RHAP on Twitter for updates and to give us suggestions about what you would like for us to cover on Nothing But Netflix. Last week I got to go on the Challenge Fanatics podcast to talk to them about the Challenge USA, and the not the most recent episode, but it'll be 2 weeks out now once we drop this episode. But that was fun. So check that out. Austin, Corey, and Josh Green were hosting that, and it was a good time. And then Sasha, Joseph, and I are covering Never Have I Ever. Season 3 has dropped, and this week we hope to have our first 2 episodes out because we've binged the entire thing in one day, as we do. And so we're ready to talk about it.
Are you happy with it?
I'm happy with it. And so, check that out to hear Sasha and I probably sing the praises of the show, but also be very critical of some moments. So that's exciting. And I think that it, follow me on Twitter at Chappelle's _ show, where I'll be talking about all the shows that I'm talking about, where I'll be tweeting out those links. And then that'll keep you posted on what I have going on.
AJ, what's up in your neck of the woods?
Oh, not a heck of a lot. Still doing the old Criminal Minds rewatch with my friend Kentad Svensgaard and the Thelonious Pundit podcast. We just just finished up season 3.
Ooh.
So yeah, we're getting ready to move into season 4, which is my favorite season of the run. So we've got a lot of positive guest stars coming up in the future. So that'll be fun. And that's my podcasting right now. That and this. I'm taking a break from the trivia for a little bit, putting that on hiatus for now. And because, you know, baseball playoffs coming up, football season getting ready to start in, and duty calls.
Duty calls. That's the tagline of the Walking Dead podcast for sure. Duty calls, and so we shall be here. Duty calls for those of us who were once upon a time and perhaps still are members of the Game of Thrones faithful. House of the Dragon has arisen on HBO. If you're listening to this podcast, when it dropped in the real time, I can't believe you're not actually watching House of the Dragon right now and you've chosen to listen to us. I guess thank you so much, but also, whoa, a choice, a bold one too. But we have so much House of the Dragon podcast coverage coming your way throughout the next 10 weeks of House of the Dragon. We'll have so many podcasts in our House of the Dragon podcast feed. So if you are somebody who is excited about the return of Game of Thrones, whether authentically or out of morbid curiosity, I think we will have all spectrums covered in our House of the Dragon podcasts. We have recaps on the night of. We'll have the book spoiler edition. Rob and I are back together as well. We also have a Game of Thrones rewatch companion podcast going along with all of this, just to remember the good times in case the new times aren't so good. So we're having a really fun time on the Westeros beat. We hope that you are into that as well. You can find us House of the Dragon post show recaps wherever you get your podcasts. For this podcast, we will return in 2 weeks talking about the next 2 episodes of Tales of the Walking Dead. Until then, everybody, take care. Bye-bye.
At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.